Welcome to Four Chicks Chatting, a womanish podcast that will engage, excite, and empower you as we chat about business and personal development, all with a healthy dose of humor. And now it's time to check in with our chicks, Kathy, Kristen, Mary Fran, and Robin.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Four Chicks Chatting. We are here today with Jamie Jamison, who is an Ohio native, or at least lives there now. She is a communications professor, an Instagram expert and influencer, and a still life photographer. She is also a content creator. Jamie shares beautiful photos of flowers, vintage finds, and handmade treasures on Instagram, hoping to inspire and connect with people throughout the world. People often ask, why flowers? Well, they bring Jamie joy. They bring me joy too. Don't we all need just a little joy in our lives? The unexpected gifts that Jamie discovers are the many new friendships and the ability to share the work of many talented makers. So without further ado, we are going to jump into today's episode, and we're going to tap into Jamie's expertise in the field of communications, and then we're going to dive a little bit into Instagram and how effective communication really helps us build our engagement and our following and connects us to our ideal audience. So welcome, Jamie.
Terrific. Thank you, and thank you so much for having me. It's a real honor to be here and to be the fifth chick chatting today.
We're excited.
Yeah.
So you are a communications expert, and that is, you know, we were chatting a bit before we actually started recording, and one of the things that you talked about was how people tend to forget that these social media platforms are about communication. So what, in fact, kind of give us a little bit about your background and then how you see that, you know, kind of going into this communications world and in the social media, you know, area space.
Sure. Well, thank you. I have been teaching at Youngstown State University now for about 14 years and teaching the introductory communication course. And what's been really interesting is seeing the evolution of communication, where we started 14 years ago with interpersonal communication being very face-to-face communication, and now that has evolved to incorporating computer-mediated communication as part of our course. And that's a very significant part of our course because that's the way we're all communicating now, interpersonally, also in groups, and also publicly. And I started with Instagram about 4 or 5 years ago and really got into it about 4 years ago, posting frequently. And the interesting thing that I've noticed over the past 4 years is that it's not just about posting beautiful photos. It's about dialogue with people that are following you. It's about communication with the people that are following you. Yes, I'm putting it out there, but I have a responsibility to try to reach out and try to respond to others that are talking to me. And I think that's a piece that seems to be missing in social. People think that if they just put it out there, they will be heard. And they may be seen, they may be heard, but really to have engagement, to have good engagement, you have to have that dialogue going back and forth.
That's it. That's an that word resurfaces in our conversations with people who are active in social media. And I think you're right. I think people just figure like, well, it's out there. It's like anybody who, and Kristen can relate to this because as you can see, she's got her book behind you. I've got my books behind me. You figure like, oh, I wrote this book. This is great. But if you don't interact with people and tell them about it and have those dialogues with people, it's just there. So there has to be that engagement piece, I think, that you're talking about is super important.
It is. And the whole reason that I'm sitting here today, I reached out to Robin. She posted something that resonated with me. I thought that was really interesting. I slid into her DM. We had a quick conversation. And we said, hey, let's have a bigger dialogue. And so we actually had a phone conversation. And I also think in today's society, too, and particularly when I teach my students, they're forgetting the importance of phone conversations or face-to-face communication where we can see one another, we can see our nonverbal. That is missing in the social. Now, the social is important. It's important to open that door, But once that door is open, then you have to elevate that conversation with more meaningful conversation, and you do that with obviously voice communication or with face-to-face.
Yeah, there's so much to be misinterpreted whenever you're doing everything written. Like, emails can be misconstrued so easily, text can be misconstrued. So I love that you emphasize that face-to-face, especially in the younger generations that you're teaching right now.
Right, and they are all about texting. They're all about, I mean, I'll ask a question in the beginning of the semester, and I'll say, okay, how many of you text your grandmothers? And I get a sprinkle, and I always say, well, those are some pretty hip grandmas out there. and then I'll say, well, how many of you call your friends? And very few of them will raise their hands. And I think the thing that connects us and connects us, even our generation, is we're speaking, we ladies are speaking, is we love that personal connection. And I think that enriches our experiences, and it creates the memories that we have that you just can't get from social sometimes. I think it's neat. I think it's neat that I connect to 39,000 people across the world, but they're not my friends. I mean, they're not people that I've had experience with. Some are my friends. I shouldn't say that. But the ones that are my true friends are the ones that I've had real life experiences with, or I've communicated one-on-one with.
Jamie, this is Kathy. I'm sorry you can't see me because I'm nodding and smiling and giving you high fives and raising my hands in the air like I just don't care. But so teaching people to communicate effectively is kind of my jam. And you bring up a good point about the nonverbal piece. And I have a 17-year-old, and I've probably mentioned this on the podcast before, but I can remember being 17 and being wrapped around a telephone cord in the kitchen doing the dishes for hours. Well, the dishes didn't take that, but talking on the phone with my friends for hours, and to get my 17-year-old to call and order the pizza herself is like, I don't want to talk to anybody. You do it.
Right.
So
right.
It's so important. But what I try to emphasize in this quote unquote virtual world now that we live in is the emphasis on listening. Mm-hmm. So not only the pace with which people are speaking, and I just did an Instagram video on this morning, but also the words that they use. And I think if you can't see their body language and those other nonverbal cues and clues, you can sort of tell how the conversation's going to go or how you want it to go by, if you're talking super fast and there's radio silence on the other end, slow down. And then listen to the different types of words that they use. If they're using words that, you know, you're not necessarily used to, you need to adapt to them to make the conversation more effective. So there's, you know, going back to Robin's point, there's so many things that can be misconstrued in a caption with a picture. So I encourage people, yes, send the direct message. I always send a direct message with a link to my calendar and say, hey, you know, I like what you're doing. Maybe we could collaborate. Let's learn more about each other. Here's a link to my calendar. Let's schedule a call.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think what we experience now is this extreme digital noise that's out there. Mm-hmm. Because we've got, and even when we started this call, I had buzzes and beeps and all kinds of things happening. We've got texting and emails, and so there's such a strong digital noise that it's hard for us to listen, and it's hard for us, and I always say this is digital listening now. We're actually reading the words sometimes in texting in real time. And it's hard to interpret that without that nonverbal component. And we can do all the emojis we want. We can do all of the things that we want to try to do to get that point across. But unless you hear my voice, unless you hear my tone, unless you hear how happy I am to be here, I mean, that doesn't come across unless we have an actual conversation.
Right.
And the more we can encourage our young people to talk to one another, I have three kids myself, and those, and they are pretty good about picking up the phone, because there are some, and particularly intergenerational too, because what I will say to my young students, I'll say, listen, you may be comfortable texting one another or emailing one another, but your boss may not be. That's exactly not where you send that message. And so you need to understand which channel to choose for your message to make sure that it is sent effectively. And that's tough. It's tough for this. It's tough for our generation to know how to reach the younger generation sometimes, and vice versa. So as best we can, I think this is terrific to sort of bring this all to light.
So I love that idea. I'm sorry, Kristen. I'm just thinking show notes in my head. I'm like, okay, this is going to be a brilliance bomb. Pick which channel to deliver the communication.
Yeah, that's a tweetable brilliant. For sure.
Yeah.
So I have an interesting point of view on this, Jamie, that I think you'll really appreciate. And that is, my two blind sons, I have a sighted daughter also, but my two blind sons are 19 and 15 now. And I had to work overtime on social skills, and the they were missing all of the visual cues. So we spent a ton of time on that when they were young. And the funny part is, like, my guys were the ones that they call and order the pizza. They call, they talk to every, they are very good at communicating, right? Because they had to, I had to spend a lot of time teaching that. And now the benefits of that, I mean, my son, Michael, even he gets on the phone with the airlines and organizes when he travels independently and who's going to be where. And it is, it's not even a big deal for him at all. It's just in his skill set. And I watch my daughter, who's 14, not having as many of those skills because I didn't invest all that time, and now catching her up.
Right, right.
But the blind community really does have an advantage there, where they can, and they can get a sense of somebody without seeing any of the visual cues a lot of time, because they have to listen, to Kathy's point. Their listening skills are incredible.
Yeah, they have to do that. And yeah, I mean, they can't read text messages. I'm sure they can. There's a device for them to do that. But if they can't do that 24/7, like most teenagers are doing, they've got to rely on the audio. And I think that's, I mean, I think it's so much richer. I think that their lives are so much richer from having that. Whereas the younger people now, and I don't mean to pick on all of them, because they do have great conversations, but they seem to be relying on this form of communication a little bit more often than they should.
I blame the parents.
Yeah. Well, my son's actually in medical school, and he was a speech kid. We have a wonderful speech program in our community, and I suppose with your mother as a speech teacher, you have no choice. So all three of my kids did speech, and they did real well. But one of the strengths that my son has is when he's meeting with patients, and his professors are very impressed. And I think that's because we really worked hard to teach him interpersonal skills and good communication skills. And so I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, I think at some level, social can take the humanity out of our interactions. That's what you're, you know, saying. And Kathy, obviously, that's something that you work with too, because the words are one thing, but the context and all of the nuances that make us human are really essential to get to the actual meaning of the message, because it can be different than exactly what the words are saying.
And that's Robin and I are on the big, like, championing video on Instagram, on all the social platforms, that people really get to know you when you just put a little 60-second video out there, and then you can have your voice inflection where it's supposed to be and get your message out there.
Yeah.
Right. Kathy, I watched your video this morning, and it was terrific. It was neat to hear you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it was terrific. And I watched Kristen yesterday. It's great. And I think that after that, I just went to an influencers conference in Atlanta, and one of the things that they talked about was putting more video out there, putting yourself in your Instagram. I think that that's really critical, because you get to know not just the pretty little moment that you think is happening in my life, but you get to really know who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you mentioned in your stuff about having an Instagram mission statement.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Well, that's one of the big things that I typically, when I'm working with clients, I start right there, because your brand has a mission statement. Most of you have got mission statements, I'm sure, for your companies, for your brands. Most businesses do. But then when they move to social, they're all over the board. And we see a little bit of this, we see what they had at dinner last night. Now, for instance, Kristen, your boys are a very big part of your brand. So I would expect when I looked on your social, and I did, to see your boys. Of course I would, because they're a part of it. I always say if it's a family business and the family's part of the business, put them on the social. But if they have nothing to do with your social, get them off. And it should be very easy to see when you open your Instagram. Because you're looking at a gallery, you want to think of yourself almost as an editor of a magazine, that when I open that gallery, I know immediately who you are and what you're all about. I think oftentimes businesses miss that opportunity.
Mary, that is readable.
I'm writing it down. Anybody who's looking at this is seeing me look to the side. And as Jamie's talking, I'm scribbling away at all this stuff that I'm going to write down and put in the notes.
Now, would you say that mission statement, I know that that's part of how you know what you're going to post. Do you also incorporate that in that little itsy bitsy bio that they give you?
Yeah, it is. It is a little bit, not necessarily. The bio really is to draw you in. Yes, I mean, there's elements in there, but that bio is really important to draw people in to your feed, to give them a little bit more of a description about what you're all about. I also love the bio in that you can give away something free, or you can really entice them with cookies or entice them with something to kind of dive a little deeper. It's important, I think, that's a really awesome opportunity to get email addresses. And because as we all know, we don't own the Instagram platform. I can tell you all about analytics. You can have people tell you as much as they can, oh, I'm going to do this for you or that for you. But at the end of the day, Instagram owns it. And we can do our best. But for instance, 2 weeks ago, my Instagram count dropped 700 followers in a day.
Wow.
And then went back up 700 the next day.
That was Instagram fixing all those bots, though, right? I mean, there was a Instagram actually did that intentionally.
They did, and I was like, oh gosh, and then you just, well, okay, I don't, they're gone. But then they did come back, and now my Instagram's been a little bit more active since all of that happened. Mm-hmm. I don't own it. But if I can pull people into my website, I noticed too, one thing that I learned at the influencer conference, I noticed you all were doing it was Linktree.
I was just gonna ask you about that, what you thought about that.
Yeah, I like it. And I just signed up for the paid version of it just so I could see for clients what that looked like. I like it because I think it really directs people to where you want them to go, but also you can capture that email address if you need to. And that's what we own. We own our own customers. We own our own communication with our customers. And that's, so I think understanding your mission statement, understanding how it looks overall. It was interesting at this conference, there were lots of designers, and I was thinking of the analogy, a decorator or a designer will come into your home and they'll understand you and they will create a beautiful board for your home, and it will all go together. It will all be cohesive. And that's what you want in a room in your home. But I would pull up some of their Instagram accounts and I think, what is it that you do? I'm so confused. And I thought, you're the decorator, you're the visual person. So I think it's really looking at the overall gallery, not just the individual posts, looking for pattern, looking for color, looking for cohesiveness, and looking to see that you stay on brand.
Yeah, that's a big part of what I do when I'm working with my clients, Jamie, is to identify that colored palette and the mood board and then take that into the visual content that they're able to post. Because, and I say that everybody needs to be present themselves with a picture of themselves and their face and doing what they do or being themselves at least every 9 squares, so that because that's what shows up. So then that way people can make that connection. You know, it's the eyes and the smile that really engage. So I always say you have to have a picture of you somewhere in those first 9 squares.
I would agree 100%, Robin. And you know me, I've got all these flowers, and where I try to put myself or interject myself are in stories. And so that is where I always say too, you can go a little one-off. Mm-hmm. If you want to show where you are, where you're vacationing, your family, what amazing meal you have, that you can personalize it a little bit more, and then you can create those on the highlights. And so that's really kind of neat that they have that opportunity for us to do that. So on mine, you won't see me, and I know you should. And I keep trying to back out and put myself in there, but it's hard. And so, but I think that there are options to stay on brand, but also to interject who you are in your true personality.
So Jamie, you just mentioned how your feed is not you, it's flowers. So can you tell us a little bit about, for you, what the importance of connecting with flowers is, with real flowers, I should say, because you don't do anything with silk flowers or artificial flowers. It's all real flowers. And this is what drew me into you too, when I just want to share this quickly, that when we spoke and you talked about, and I think this is where communication really ties in, because of sponsorship opportunities and that opportunity to connect with people that are going to then help you with who you're influencing by partnering and collaborating. So for example, you work with other companies who send you these incredible, gorgeous flowers, and then you're collaborating with them to promote their brand, they're promoting your brand, and it's a collaboration that is working for everyone. So just, I kind of threw a lot out in that little bit of life, but if you can, like, can you just
I can't write that fast.
I know.
I'm pulling a Marcino, I think.
I'm pulling a Marcino. So, it, but anyway, I really, I mean, flowers are such an important part of me. And if anybody goes to my feed, they will see that every so often I have images of flowers. And I'm more macro and get into the closer detail, but there is the language of flowers, the Victorian language of flowers, and that is how people used to communicate emotions. So that's why I really want to have you dive into this a little bit for us.
Well, so how this all started actually was that I was doing some mixed media art. I'm going to kind of even back it up just a little bit more to your questions. And I used Instagram as sort of a marketing tool. I thought, well, if I put something out there, what will they like? And if they like it, well, then that would lead me in a direction. What I didn't realize is that people were starting to engage with my photos and they really liked them. And I actually moved from the mixed media and started getting more into photography. And then I sat back and I asked myself the question, well, what do I love and what do I really want to share with the world? And I absolutely love flowers. I love them, but I also love vintage props. And I love working with makers and different craftsmen. And I thought, well, if I could combine those three things and share those with people, and almost it's like the reuse, recycle, and bring out some of these beautiful props that are stuck in drawers and that people forget about and tell their story again, but do it through the eyes of these beautiful flowers, or you do it with these beautiful flowers, it would just be sort of a neat connection for people. And so I love to find props, tell their story, and also include the gorgeous flowers. In my journey of doing this, I've met some amazing antique dealers, but I've also met some amazing floral farmers. And one of my dear friends in town is a floral farmer, and she tells the story, you knocked on my door, and you said, I like flowers, and I take pictures of flowers and you grow flowers. Can we be friends?
That's awesome.
Direct communication. You gotta love that.
She's sitting here with her newborn going, you're crazy. But of course, I haven't gone away and I love her dearly. And that sort of circles me back to that mutual love of brand. I think by meeting her, our relationship is authentic. She's not paying me to do anything. We work together. She will design some florals. She'll give me flowers, but then I will give her photos in return. And what has resulted is a real relationship, is a real business relationship, rather than just thanks for the $25 to post your photo on my Instagram. I think that loses something sometimes. And so what I look for are opportunities with brands to connect with brands and provide them value from my end, which would be photography, and look for them to provide authentic product to me that I really love and connect with. And I think that works then for everybody. And then there is great influence in that. And that was one of the things, one of my huge takeaways from the conference this past week, is that, you know, I can sit there and jump up and down and say, hey, I'm great, I'm awesome. But if one of you says, hey, take a look at Ala Janie, her site is beautiful, we love her flowers, she really does a terrific job. Your influence and power is going to be greater than me doing that for myself. And so I think that there's the influencer programs out there now are really new, but I think that what you're going to find is that the strongest programs are going to be those that are most authentic.
I have this story to bring all of this point home, that this is that what you just said is so, it was like lighting me up inside about knock on the door and say, I do this, you do this, can we be friends? Because just a couple of months ago, I was so frustrated with Instagram because I'm trying to do all these platforms and find where I land, right? And I said to my other mastermind group in the rare disease community, I can't do Instagram anymore. It's not landing for me. And they said, then don't stop doing the pieces about educating about blindness. We love those pieces. Do that, right? So I started doing just that. And I had to just be okay with all the followers that were falling off that weren't interested. But what happened was other people, other moms of blind kids that were on similar missions started doing that. They were knocking on my door saying, your boys are doing stuff like my kids. Can we be friends? And then I found a blogger and I found, you know, a mom that has a sponsored blind skimboarder who has a big following. And then the book came along and they're all doing that now. They're sharing it with their networks. But I think that's one of the most powerful things. Go and knock on the door and say, we have this in common. Let's do it together.
We do. And I, the three things I always say is inform, educate, and entertain. And
I like that.
On the educational component, I'm more on an entertaining component, but I still like to educate and inform even within the comment section of my photos. But I think that is huge. And I've heard this actually before. Actually, I was listening to one of your prior podcasts, which I loved, but it's quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. And I would rather have, and I'm sure you would too, more engaged quality followers that connect with you and connect with your story and want to be educated by your story than just this mass amount of folks. Because I think that it's real. I think that that's where the sales happen. I think that's where the connection happens, where the education happens, when it's that real connection.
Yeah, I think you're right too. I was listening to somebody one time, I forget who it was, that said about the email list, when you get an unsubscribe, to not be suicidal over the unsubscribes, you know, and they were like, hey, that you should cheer that because you're not paying for them. They don't want to hear your message anyway. Focus on the people that really are listening. Same point.
And I think that what people see is they look at my Instagram and they see a big number. And yeah, I've been working at it hard for the past 4 years, every day. Every day I'm posting something. But what they also don't see are some of the analytics that I lose a couple thousand followers in, you know, a month or more. So, I mean, I'm gaining folks, but I'm also losing a lot of folks too. And that's okay. If you like flowers and you want to follow me, here I am. There's space is getting so crowded. But it really is, it's about finding what you want to connect with. And there's only so much time for us to even scroll through our own, the people that we're following. So you want to follow the people that really bring joy into your life or bring education or bring information, any of that stuff. You want to try to follow those folks.
Well, I think when
your
talk
Zen
about
vibe is just, I just want you to live with me because because you know, you guys
know, stalker of the group.
You guys know me. I'm also the one who panics over the technology and the Instagram and all that kind of stuff. Because it's not quite my. I'm certainly not anywhere near where the other three chicks are with that. But listening to you say it's okay, I'm like, all right, okay, I can do this. Eventually, this lady's telling me I can do this eventually. But I think you're so smart and so right with this kind of evolution of the whole process.
Yeah.
That there is an evolution to it, and you have to be okay with that. I'm sorry, Robin. I didn't mean to jump on
you. No.
Please come and live with me and tell me your give me your Zen wisdom every day.
Oh my gosh. Flowers.
No, I think what you're saying, Mary Fran, though, is so on point. It's really in line with what I was going to say as well, with the quality over quantity, because I think we are all in a society because of all the digital stuff and the technology that everything's instant gratification. So we think we can get on Instagram and we can all of a sudden have 40,000 followers. The problem with that is, okay, you can send out these little bots, get the bots to, you know, follow, unfollow, blah, 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 which annoys me more than anything in the world. But what what I think is so important to remember is that you can have those numbers, but if they're not engaging with you, they don't matter. And so if you look at a feed that has, you know, 200,000 followers, but they only have 450 or 1,000 likes, that's well under, you know, 2%. And you should try to have an engagement rate much higher than that. So, you know, it's that realization that patience is critical, mm-hmm. and the right people will find you at the right time. And then you can engage with them effectively through good communication.
Exactly. And we'll take it all the way back to the communication piece of it, which is, yes, you're putting your information out there. You may have a small number of followers, but don't forget the communication tool. Comment. I always say to folks, comment sincerely on four or five people's posts that they've done each day. When you get up in the morning and you're looking at something, give a nice shout. It's a beautiful photo. Great job. The other thing is, don't underestimate the power of the direct message. I think that that is huge. That has brought me more connections, more business, actually, by reaching out and having a greater dialogue with someone. So just because you put it out there, don't all of a sudden assume that people are going to see it or they're going to communicate back with you. It's active. You need to communicate with them as much as, you know, as much as you're putting it out there, you need to be active in your communication to other people.
Jamie, I think you need to be on, I think there are a couple of things, and of course I'm the pop culture person of the group, but you need to be on HGTV.
Oh.
And here's why. First of all, you need to, your visuals are stunning. You inform, educate, and entertain. That you can't ask for three more, a better characteristics. Hi, Daisy.
Hi, Daisy. Hi,
Daisy.
Oh, my God.
Daisy's barking.
Yeah.
Robin's.
I've it's got a snow day. It's a snow day, so the doorbell rang, you know? And I watched the little girl walk by, and I'm thinking, don't ring that bell. She rang the bell.
I got you.
It's good communication. She's coming face to face to knock on the door. Look at that.
She's standing here looking through the French doors. Mom, come on. Somebody's here. Come on.
All right. What was I saying?
It was so important.
You're pitching HGTV.
HGTV.
Anyway, yes, the inform, educate, and entertain piece, you would be brilliant. I would watch you every day. I want Joanna Gaines to have you as part of their show, even though they don't do a show anymore, but you need to be part of them. And she needs to go to you and say, oh my God, I've got to get this flowers. I have this arrangement. I went to the antique store. I found this wonderful thing. And what am I going to fill it with? I've got to call Jamie.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love it. Well, and it's funny because we were just at this conference and Carson Kressley was there. And
I'm really?
Oh, wow.
He was so sweet. And so we went up afterwards and the company that I work for, he's like, oh, and of course I did what I do best. I, via the company, not myself, although I probably should do it because I'm a little stalkerish too, but I slid into his DM via the company and we were actually watching him in real time responding back to us.
And oh, that's awesome.
That was so cool. But the company that I work for, she left. She goes, you're such a stalker. I'm like, I'm not a stalker.
I'm a stalker. I admit it. I'm such a stalker.
Maybe a little. Maybe I know. But I think the thing is that my belief is you got to put it out there. And life is short. And you know what? Nothing ventured, nothing gained. I love doing what I'm doing. I'm proud of what I'm doing. And I've grown so much artistically. I've grown as a photographer. I've had fun with the brands that I've worked with. I think that that's great. And that's why I connected to Robin, because she really believes in social photography. And I think that there's a difference. I think it's trying to help brands understand how to take better pictures and make them work for that mission statement and make them work for themselves. And they all, when I've talked to a lot of small businesses, they all want to succeed on Instagram. And my hope and joy would be to help to communicate to them, yeah, you can do it. Put out good quality content as best you can do. Connect with people as best you can do and be consistent about it. If you can do those three things, you know, then the true engaged quality followers, not quantity, but quality followers that you want to have be a part of your brand and your world will be with you.
That's awesome.
Well, that's perfect. a wonderful summation of everything that you just talked about.
Yes,
that's phenomenal.
And with
Thank
that,
God you recorded it.
Yeah. And with that, I think we're going to call it a wrap. And so, Jamie, before we do our squirrel brain roundup, what I would like to do is have you tell us if you have any, first of all, where our listeners can find you, the different platforms that you're on and your website, as well as any offerings that you might have for our listeners.
Sure. Well, thank you. First of all, first and foremost, I'm a la Jamie on Instagram. I make it really easy. www.alajamie.com is my website. And I provide one-on-one coaching. I provide photography. I provide styling. And I've worked with clients in California to Connecticut to Texas. So if there's something that you have a question, it's a small question, I'm happy to even just answer that ask me something and I'll be happy to answer it for you. But if you're looking for help with your brand and helping to be stronger with your brand on social, that's something that I really love to help businesses do.
That's awesome. I love your mission and I certainly connect with it. So I'm so glad you reached out to me and we're thrilled that you were here. So girls, chicks, what are your squirrel brain roundup thoughts?
Oh my goodness. I don't know if I have just one. The first thing that comes to mind is that every picture tells a story, right? And Jamie, your story is amazing and it's beautiful. And I wish you all the success in the world.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I think I'm going to have to, I had so many things. Usually when I do show notes, I listen to the show again, but as you were speaking, there were so many things that you were saying that resonated with me that I literally have pages of notes already. So thank you for that. I think one of the things that you said, and I don't know if it came out in these exact words, but find a common language, which is kind of what, you talked about on a number of different levels with how you approach other people and even within the Instagram world, finding that common commonality that you may have with someone else and creating relationships around it. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. And just on a side note, it's kind of fun watching my kids who are 20 somethings, their friends follow me. I love that. And it provides a connection tool. So I think if you're true to your authentic self in what you're putting out there, you may be able to connect with any generation if it's true to who you are. And I love watching them connect with, the mom, but it's pretty neat.
Yeah, that's awesome. Great message.
Good stuff. And I'm still on the, I just love that collaborating by going and introducing yourself and knowing what the other person does and saying, let's work together. I mean, I my mission grew so fast because I had to collaborate because there was nobody else that I couldn't do it by myself. So I love that whole, and I just love the visual of knocking on the door and saying, hey, let's be friends.
Can we be friends?
And it's also not expecting, and I'll just throw two things. It's not expecting a big return. I mean, you never know until you've got to prove yourself and you have to put yourself out there. I was a pretty green photographer when I started. And so I gave her a lot of photos. I didn't charge. Because I was learning too. So there's that component of, look, you don't always have to get something. If you give, often you're going to get more in return.
That's sure. Our Bob Bergism.
Yeah.
Bob Bergism.
Hi, Bob. Yeah.
Bob Berg, and I'm thinking of Mr. Rogers. Won't you be my neighbor?
Won't you be my neighbor? That's great. I love that.
Flip your shoe, put on your sweater.
So I think for me, I mean, I love your perspective on the branding piece and building your brand through authentic communication because it is so important. And what you just said about being true to your authentic self, you'll be able to connect with multi-generations. You're not pigeonholing yourself into one area or one population by age or by demographic. But I think the inform, educate, entertain is something that is critical to the success with communication. And on any platform, be it your website, be it Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever, I think if you're informing, you're educating, and you're entertaining, those three things are going to be critical for success. So, all right, everybody, with that, it's a wrap for this episode with A La Jamie. We welcome you to visit our website and to please, please leave us a review. Those reviews really do give us life behind the scenes. So find us on that social thing and we will chat again soon.
Thanks for listening to our chicks. Want to learn how to create your own chick chat? Head to our website, chickschatting.com. Be sure to join our chats on that social thing, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.